Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. We are extremely grateful to Allah who has allowed such a person like me, who's not worthy. He gave me this tawfiq, he gave me the ability, the capability that on this great night to be included and amongst such pious people like you in your company. And I am hopeful in Allah, I'm hopeful to Allah, and I have total hope that this evening, that when I have your company, your great sohbat, and to sit with you, be amongst you, that this will become the means for my forgiveness. Today, I don't have any special points or topic in my mind or subject matter. Due to your barakah, your blessings, a hadith has come to my mind. And the meaning of this hadith is such that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, he hinted us, he drew us towards a special ibadah worship, that when you come to salah or when you pray, when you are conducting your salah, then your situation should be such that just as if Allah is watching you, you should have that emotion, you should have that feeling that Allah is watching you. Yes? Or at least you should feel that you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Or this is the first part of the hadith. The first thing is this, that you are seeing Allah, rather. That you are seeing Allah. And at least minimum, if you cannot feel that you are seeing Allah, then it's as if Allah is watching you. Allah is observing you. So the pious predecessors have stated that in reality, if we look at this hadith in the light of this hadith, that this point with regards to feeling that you are seeing Allah and Allah is watching you is not restricted to this ibadah. Rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah's Nabi, has mentioned the status of the believer, the mu'min, that always, every moment, he should have this emotion and this feeling and this scenario in his mind and heart, that every second a mu'min should feel this and understand is that I am seeing Allah, I am observing Allah. Subhanallah, say subhanallah. Allah has given us iman, believe me, you, we recite the kalima. So Allah is addressing us. And this is the scenario that me and you, we should always be, every second, every moment, as if we are seeing Allah, observing Allah, watching Allah. And at least, if we can't feel this, at least, then minimum, that Allah is observing us, watching us. So brothers, this majlis, this gathering, that if we need to make this gathering successful, fulfill the objective and make it the means for our reward in the hereafter and our forgiveness in the hereafter. So let's do one thing, me and you. Let's do one thing. That whenever Allah Ta'ala gives us messages here in our hearts, in the depth of our hearts and on our tongues, we need to keep saying that Allah, inshaAllah, I will definitely do these actions. I will definitely do this action. Then we will be successful in sitting here. Otherwise, my friends, we will not take benefit from our sitting. Allah sent us to this gathering that tomorrow when we die, then that moment of death becomes easy for us. Until now, the mistakes we've implemented, Allah is khabir, basir, all knowing, all seeing, all hearing. And then Allah collects people like we have today in this gathering, and Allah allows us to amass the luggage for our bakhshish, forgiveness. This is purely, this gathering has no concern with the dunya. No link with the dunya. I would never come if Allah didn't send me. You would never be here, sat here, if Allah didn't prefer you, select you, call you. Totally keep a straightforward transaction with Allah. This is not a function. This is not some noise or clamor or just we're getting it there for a do or something. No, that before death Allah has given us an opportunity. This is not a speech. I'm speaking about here. We're not in a lecture. Me and you, all of us. We don't know who's going to pass away. You know when I came here last time? Then there was a person sat right at the back on the chair. Yes? The third day, I got a message that he has passed away. Allahu Akbar. So Allah knows best who's going to depart, who's going to pass away, die. Allah, who knows? Allah wants to make somebody's life here. Don't guarantee yourself based on your youth or your age or your health. My brothers, when the call comes, when Allah invites, then nothing is looked upon. No barrier is there. Sit with yaqeen that we have no knowledge of when our death is going to come. Maybe it's due to me that this gathering has been formed and today there's a lottery and there are calls coming out, announcement that this majlis will have a function that Allah Ta'ala will forgive. Subhanallah, subhanallah. That's it. The objective of this gathering is that Allah Ta'ala will forgive him. There's no other objective. Why? Because we listen to the respectful scholars. What beautiful words he said. We hear on Jum'ah, the hadith, and great alims, asate, muftis, who've come from far and wide. So there's nothing to listen to. There's nothing to speak about. This is Allah's rahmah and mercy. You all know, mashallah, that everyone knows about hellfire, Jannah, paradise, the grave. At this moment in time, there's a transaction taking place. Yes, in the court of Allah. Allah says, come and take your forgiveness. Come and earn your forgiveness. Come and earn your salvation. If a person's got less life left, then he will depart with a certificate. The person who has extra life, then he should protect his iman. Because when will we get a chance again? We don't know when this majlis will be formed again, the gathering column again. Will we have life at that time, health up and down? Allah knows best. Some people have departed. They used to sit here, there, and they've departed. They've gone. So first niyyah, first intention needs to be made. Purely, we have come here to earn Allah's forgiveness, to earn bakshish, and the words that we hear, we will do analysis of ourselves, self-analysis, self-critique. Every person here should consider he's a sinner, otherwise he will be counted as the proud person. Every man should know, look, his worship, his amal, his deeds. Consider that I am the extreme sinner. And if a sinner, for example, if there's a machine, if the clothes are put into the washing machine to be washed, and the cloth says, I'm clean, then the rest, all the other cloths will say, take this cloth out. Only that cloth will be clean, that says I'm impure, put more water onto me. Then the machine cleans that cloth. The same way Allah says, whoever says I'm clean, I'm pure, I'm fine, I don't need to come here, I'm this and that, then for that person he has failed. Sit here with this intention that there's no greater sinner than me in this gathering. Isn't it okay, brothers? We will make this niyyah. Okay, mashallah. Allah will this. Now, a very simple point that I'd like to present to you, a feeling, an emotion that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, that me and you, our kafiyat, our emotion, our feeling, scenario, always, every second, lazim, essential, is that our shu'ur, our consciousness should tell us that we are seeing Allah, that we can see Allah. When we are doing anything in life, this is such a hadith that Allah Ta'ala has put into my mind to discuss and share with you. The subject of this hadith is very common. The ulama ikram, the respectful scholars know this hadith. So many times they will have discussed this, recited it, shared it. And definitely all the nas, human beings, will be aware of this hadith. Many times you will have heard this hadith or the subject matter or the meaning. Many times this hadith will have been repeated to us, revised with us. Maybe even that person who did not know about this hadith before today even knows today about this hadith. Why is this so common? Why is this subject common? Why is it common? Because this is sunnat ilahi. That factor that is essential for human beings, insans, which is important, which is essential for human beings, Allah Ta'ala makes that common for everybody at that time. Subhanallah. Allah makes it common so that people can take benefit. So Allah has made this hadith and the subject matter and the emotion and the condition common. If you don't know this hadith, you'll realize today two words and a few words, and such a beautiful treasure, such a priceless treasure for our lives that we cannot imagine in this hadith. In this hadith. Yes, everything that when it's essential for human beings, when it's important, Allah spreads the hadith, whether it's in the form of verses, Allah makes it easy for that knowledge to be spread amongst the world to the human beings, so that we can understand. Look, in the previous days and ages, people came, the kitabs, Tawrat, Injil, Zabur, and we have the scriptures, and were they hafiz of that? But the glory of the Quran is such that in this gathering, every man's hafiz. Subhanallah. Obviously, otherwise how will we pray Salah? Hafidh is that person who does hifz of the whole Quran. But even if you have memorized Surah Ikhlas, you are also Hafidh, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Look at the great achievement. So easy Allah has made it. Such a priceless kitab. Valuable kitab. And it's not that it's ended. It's so permanent. Zabur is gone. Injil is gone. Torah. You won't get the kitabs here. You won't know where they are. You can't read it. But this Quran is guaranteed. Qiyamah will come, everything will finish. But even in Jannah, this Quran will be recited. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, what a great kitab. What a great kitab. So simple Allah has made it. So simple. Such verses in the chest, Allah Ta'ala has preserved in our chest, and we recite them with enjoyment. Why? Because very, very essential this was for our lives. And nobody can succeed if you don't understand this. Shifa, cure, rahmah, mercy. A special mercy for the Muslimin. So this hadith is for this reason it's common, because the meaning of this hadith is important for us, essential for us, so important. The importance of this hadith is like this, my friends, that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in this hadith that every phase of the hereafter that will confront us, first the severe time comes, the first phase is death, the day of death, the time of death, may Allah forgive and protect. It's severe, challenging time when a person dies at that time. Severe, challenging time. And the first test is this, that shayateen are sat on his head and they're trying when he's about to depart and die, let's grab hold of his iman in some way. Let's grab hold of his iman. And that this is the message to be saved from that severe time of death. Totally will be saved at the time of Niza, death from the severity of death, from the challenge at the time of death, from the punishment of the grave, and it will give us a solution from the punishment of the grave, and it will become a border, a barrier in the grave, and a garden in Jannah. And when we wake up from the grave, it will take us with ease through the day of Hashr. It will allow us to cross the bridge of Sirat with ease. It will deliver us into Jannah. It will give us levels in Jannah, and such high levels for which insan we are desperate. We do du'as and beg and plead to Allah that Allah please keep us close to the Holy Prophet and give us his qurb. This will also be attained, subhanallah. And the vision, seeing Allah Ta'ala, will also be attained. This is all contained in this one hadith, subhanallah. It can be attained and achieved. What is that? What's the message? That we are seeing Allah and Allah is seeing us. We should have this emotion that whatever we're doing during the day in life, it's as if we can see Allah. If we can't feel this, then at least Allah is watching us, seeing us. And how will we get this emotion? That how will we attain this level so we can feel this? That person inside him, if he has this emotion, that he cannot go into hellfire. And the person who doesn't have this feeling, then he cannot be saved and kept away from Jahannam. Allahu Akbar, he cannot be saved from Jahannam. This is how common is this, subhanAllah. So what will happen? We don't have this emotion, feeling inside us that we are seeing Allah, at least Allah is watching us. Then what is created within that human being if he doesn't have this emotion? And what will happen then? That we cannot be prevented from Jahannam. That will be sin. Allahu Akbar. Small, big, doesn't matter what sin it is. If there's a sin a person is implementing, as long as that sin is attached to our bodies and we're doing it, we can't go into Jannah. First we'll be purified in hellfire, then that person will be sent to Jannah. If a person has no sins attached to his name, then he will go into Jannah. Alhamdulillah, straightforward, easy equation. And this is the guarantee, alhamdulillah, that the person who creates that feeling and emotion that Allah is watching me, or at least that I am seeing Allah, that at least Allah is watching me, then he can never commit a sin. Allahu Akbar. He cannot commit a sin. How can he commit a sin? That person. Yes? The person who has yaqeen, total 100%, confirmed that Allah is watching that person. He knows that minimum Allah is watching me. Then how can it be that Allah is watching me and I'm lying? How can it be that Allah Ta'ala is watching me and I don't pray salah? How can it be that Allah Ta'ala is watching me and I am doing actions against Iman? Allah is watching me and I am gossip mongering or backbiting against somebody? Can it happen? Impossible. So this happens at that time a person sins. At that time when inside him he doesn't have yaqeen, he doesn't have that feeling, that recognition that Allah Ta'ala is watching. He doesn't have that recognition. He doesn't feel that. He's not aware of that. Or that at least I have the feeling that I'm watching Allah, and if I don't have that feeling, that at least Allah is watching me. And wah, we have this one thing lacking in our lives when we sin, and we live our whole lives on sin, that we want to go to paradise, and we have a parda, a veil between us and Jannah, which is Allah's, we have Allah's love that we need. Doesn't matter how much we do amal, deeds, if there are sins in our lives, then we cannot succeed. Remember this point, remember. That as long as the sins are in our life, if we don't remove them, wipe them, clean them, Allah will not be happy. If we don't discard sins, Allah will not be happy. We pray salah, then we do a sin after that. Here we do hajj on the one hand, and on the other hand, we disobey Allah. On the one hand, we read one juz part of the Quran, after that we do a wrong action. Then how can we attain forgiveness through these deeds? Will Allah be pleased? No. So the basis of our life should be this with the mu'min, that we will try our best that Allah Ta'ala is not unhappy with us. We will try our best. And how does Allah Ta'ala become unhappy, displeased? When a person commits sins or does one sin. And how can we be saved from sin? That we should develop this condition and emotion within us that we us can see Allah, or at least that Allah can see us. When the human being develops this feeling and emotion within, and when this comes into our hearts and yaqeen increases, certainty increases, and this feeling will come, and it will come. Because Allah has made human being in this way. Allah has, and it will totally will come. With ease it will come to us. And it should happen that it should come into our lives. Every mu'min should have this feeling and emotion, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, I'm a failure. I'll be living the life of waste, total waste of life. I'll be passing my life through waste of time. So that person's useless, bone idle, and there's no third emotion. From one of these two, we need to have this emotion with us all the time. Recognition and awareness and appreciation all the time. Otherwise, we will fail. And this is today's message. So now we need to think, analyze, my friends, that if we want to get paradise, we want to be saved from the punishment of the grave, if we want to be saved from Jahannam, hellfire, then we want to have strong certainty for the next world, the hereafter, then we need to strengthen this emotion and feeling that we can see Allah in every moment, or at least Allah Ta'ala can see us. That's it, and that's what we need to attain, achieve. Now the next question arises. Now we've made point number one established. Point number two, question, that how do I bring about this emotion into my life? Isn't it? Yes? So we've understood now the importance of creating the connection with Allah. If we've understood this, whoever bypasses this will go into loss. Whoever understands this point, the hadith, that totally my life is not complete now, I'm not doing the right things with my life, I'm in danger, and I cannot be saved from the sins. I cannot be saved from, no human being can be saved from the sins unless he has this emotion developed within him that I can see Allah, I'm watching Allah, or I'm seeing Allah, or at least that Allah is watching me. So I'll give you an example, that there's a big store, yeah? And for a little while, the cameras, take the cameras down, yes? Detach the cameras for one day. You know the cameras, the security cameras in the store? And then announce, for one day, we have detached the cameras, they're faulty, there's a default, they will not run. I am quite confident that until the evening, so many thefts will occur that probably didn't occur in 1 year. And every phone will phone another, every thief will phone another thief, send messages that come, there are no cameras, no one to watch you. There's no proof, no dalil. So who will know what I am stealing, what I'm not stealing, what I'm doing? So it will be the best day for the thieves, it will be their Christmas for the whole year because the cameras have disappeared. Why? Because they know there's nobody to watch them, nobody to see them. There's nobody to record or look at from the room, security room. So if we know, if we feel that no one's watching us, astaghfirullah, we say, Allah's not here, he's not watching us, he's in the heavens, he's not looking at us. I'm telling you, a mu'min, his actions, this is our iman, our feeling, emotion, astaghfirullah, may Allah forgive. 99.9% of the Muslims today have this feeling, have this emotion, condition or lack of awareness and recognition. Which Muslim has a recognition and awareness and acceptance that I am watching Allah, I am seeing Allah, I've got that emotion, or at least that Allah is watching me? If I don't have this emotion, then how will I be saved from sin? What will take me away from sin? If the cameras are not watching me, then how will the security team catch the thief? So if we think that our Malik is not here, and if I think that, oh, I can't see Allah, Allah is not watching me, then how can I be saved from sin? And I will commit so many sins. But Allah has given a beautiful protection for the people of Iman. Subhanallah. Such great mercy of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala has given us this emotion. Allahu Akbar. Otherwise, do we deserve it? Such a great statement. Allah said that for the mu'min, for the believer, Allah has given such a great emotion to us, free of charge, without hard work. That Allah Ta'ala has made a very robust connection between the human being and himself. Allah has sent such robust and strong rahmah and mercy that maybe hundreds of thousands of shaitan will come and trouble of your nafs. But when you see me and I am seeing you, then how can you commit the sins? That the person's feeling and emotion should suddenly transform. It should be transformed when he's done. If only we can understand what I'm saying. If only we can understand what I'm saying. That nobody in the world was a waliyallah, nor was he made a waliyah, nor will he become a waliyallah, unless he has this emotion and feeling and recognition about Allah Ta'ala. Impossible that he can be wali of Allah. That if a person creates this emotion and feeling within, then alhamdulillah, he goes across all the madaris of tasawwuf, all the lessons of tasawwuf, he passes with ease. This is the real genuine article. Camera is attached, thieves disappear. Thieves disappear. So insan, when he has this feeling, he has this sense, you can say this sixth sense, all the sins will be removed, eliminated, taken out of his life. Allah gives him an announcement that I am happy with you. I'm happy with you. So that was number one. Do you understand what I'm saying? Understand all of this? Okay, now, in this majlis I'm speaking, those who are listening, then our lives from today, the biggest effort we need to make, my friends, if we want to attain something in life. What we want to attain, we want to be safe from the grave, from adab. Attaining something is afterwards. Forget about that. So, the ibadat you do, the worship, the action you do, whatever you do. But we, if we don't get this feeling and emotion, we will be failures. We will continue to sin, and shaitan will make us sin. Cameras, if they're not there, theft will occur, definitely will occur. Every moment theft will occur. And subhanAllah, the police say to the store owners that you've got protection, the cameras, if you detach them, then there's no protection, there's no proof, and the theft will occur, and you will not be able to grab them. Allah has announced this the same way, that if you have not created this awareness and emotion in yourself, I've given you such a great reward. Allah says, that every moment I'm with you, subhanAllah, every moment I'm with you, Allahu Akbar. So we, when we say that, oh, I can't leave cannabis, I keep looking at women, the opposite sex, I keep on drinking alcohol, watching TV, I waste time, I try to be pure. Every day text messages come to me, so Allah has given us the cure. Allah has given us a very easy cure. It cannot be that unless you create this emotion within you, your heart, you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. You cannot succeed. So you need to develop this emotion within us. And if you don't, then Allah says the sins will be committed and be ready for Jahannam and Dozakh and the hellfire and a severe punishment in the grave. So it's lazim for us, each and every one of us. It's essential, compulsory that we develop this emotion, this feeling that we can see Allah. That we can see Allah. That, or at least Allah can see us. We think it's hard. We say it's hard. This is not hard. I've made it easy for you. This emotion will come suddenly into your life. But how? Whatever I say, you do that. You implement it. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. So the next question now comes naturally. You've understood this point, the importance. I've tried to emphasize with vigor to make you understand. And without this, everyone is zero beyond zero. Do as many hajj as you want. Do. Work hard physically. Do ibadat, worship, etc. But to judge success criteria, the pious predecessors have said that if you want to judge, what's the best time to judge? Salah time. That this is the great level of ibadah, worship. And the person at that time can judge that, how is my salah? If it's salah, and he has the emotion that I can see Allah, or at least Allah can see me, then always inshallah this emotion will continue. 5 times a day Allah has given us prayer to judge ourselves, that go judge in salah. Are you counting your money, or are you just bopping up and down, or are you forgetting verses, or are you just fulfilling your duty, or are you doing something else? Allah said, oh foolish person, why are you wasting your time? Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to insan, remember this, Allah has kept that link, that the whole universe, Allah ta'ala stated that there is nothing that has been created that is not beneficial for us, that is batil, that is false. No, isn't this in the Quran? Yes. So here, everything we are aware that Allah has covered everything, not even a dhara, atoms, dust, particle, as Allah said, is a waste. Everything has a motive, objective, a reason for being created. Allah says that everything in the nature is created for a purpose. So I ask you, Allah says, I ask you, if with regards to metals and other commodities, Allah has mentioned that everything has been created for a reason, that everything is precious. Everything is precious. SubhanAllah. And the most valuable thing that Allah has given to me and you are the breaths that we breathe in and out. And for which reason we are alive? And can there be anything more valuable than this breathing, the air, oxygen that we're breathing in, exhaling out something else? Allah says, I've not made this for batil. That is breathing batil. Is it false? Is it wrong? Is it just for the reasons for us to stay alive? And then when there's less oxygen, then we get a cylinder and a mouthpiece on our faces. The oxygen, does that keep the person alive? It's not for this reason that we get more breaths through medicine. Allah says, that's batil. Allah says, I've given you the breath for this reason, that every breath you take in and out, and if Allah's name emanates from your breath, then your level due to the one breath, Allah says that between me and you will be so close, just like the heavens, the sky, and the earth is close. SubhanAllah. What do we say with the breath? What do we say? What do we do? What do we say? Allah Ta'ala is reminding us, explaining to us, but we are so foolish that Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great treasure in the form of breathing. Allah says, you're breathing in and out in breaths, and your practice should be that when you breathe, it should not be done without any motive. And my qurb is there. With every breath, you can attain my qurb and my nearness. SubhanAllah. We're putting oxygen masks on to stay alive. SubhanAllah. And when we had health and energy, then we kept on wasting the breath. And we used to waste time. We thought, oh, we're here forever. With every breath, Allah's name should emanate from our tongues and our mouths. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have to do all of this. So number one, what do we need to do? Number one, that we need to develop that feeling after today. Otherwise, we are totally at loss. That if we don't have this feeling from these two, that we are watching Allah, or at least Allah is watching us. If we don't have these two, then everything else is a waste, a dust. We're not benefiting in any way or form. Listen to me what I'm saying. So we need to create and develop this feeling. Number one. Number two, every breath of ours in our life should be valuable and precious. We need to make it precious. Will we do this? Inshallah. Yes, it's not for flu and cold when the knock is blocked and we put medicines in. It's not for this reason. The breathing that we do, the breaths that we take in and out are not for these purposes. Those people whose nose are blocked, those people who recite the name of Allah, their nose is not blocked. Subhanallah. Even then Allah comes from them. Allah's name is recited by them. Will we do this? Inshallah. Solid promise. Okay, you are good people. You understand what I'm saying. So 2 points I've made. Yes. Yes, you revise them. Solid. What was the first point? Yes, because I've come here to work. Or I've come to demand work. So that we can take something from him. We don't waste our time. We don't waste our time. Otherwise you'd be sleeping now and I'd be sleeping, mashallah. So we're talking about benefit. What benefit we take. So now, first point. The question ask yourself that you've told us, so we've created that, we need to create that emotion, that feeling. So how do we develop this feeling? So now I remember an event, an incident. Let's share this incident. So you'll understand the feelings and emotions that we should have within us. There are four silsila, four orders of tasawwuf. Yes? And this is a gathering of tasawwuf, so that's why I'm mentioning this. Qadriya, Chishtiya, Naqshbandiya and Suhrawardiya. MashaAllah, good. Good students, you are capable, MashaAllah. So the Suhrawardi silsila, less people are aware of this, but I have a lot of love because the first step I took into tasawwuf, then it was due to the Suhrawardi order that I received faith. SubhanAllah. In Multan, there's a Wali of Allah, a great Wali of Allah, and you may be aware of him, and due to him, through his company, like many Walis of Allah came, India, Pakistan was one before, he's the Chishti silsila came, as the Khwaja Mohinuddin Chishti, alhamdulillah, he spread that. In the same way, the other Salasal Naqshbandiya came, silsila has a Baqi Billah, alhamdulillah, Ibul, to the Indian subcontinent. In the same way, the Suhrawardi silsila into the Indian subcontinent, his sheikh was Hazrat Baudin Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, subhanallah. And his Mazar Sharif is in Multan, his grave, and there will be people who are from Multan, they'll know this. And he has two Mazar, big Mazar, subhanallah. So this, that he wasn't the founder of the silsila, the order, but he brought that order to that region, to the Indian subcontinent. And he was a great sheikh of the Suhrawardi silsila, great Wali of Allah, great hikmas, great wisdom, subhanallah. So he was on a journey and he hadn't met his sheikh at that time. And because Allah Ta'ala had put in his destiny the Suhrawardi order, so Hazrat Shah Baudin Suhrawardi, he met him. And he sat him down in the khanqah. He knew, he recognized, he knew the sheikh, that what type of person this is that Allah Ta'ala sent him to me, how much nur is in him, etc., how much capacity. So he told him to stay in the khanqah, and in the khanqah there are rooms, different people stay there, they stay there, do mujahidat, and they spend some time there to improve themselves, rectify themselves. So after 17 days he gave khilafah to the guest. And this is very unique to have khilafat so quickly. Nowadays, not the sales of today, the person whose pockets are whole heavier, etc. You are khilafat, you, I'll make you my deputy and I'll make you a sheikh. No, I'm talking about the genuine walis of Allah. What is khilafat? It's a very high, lofty status. So he gave khilafat to Hazrat. So the rest of the people who were there, the students, the muridin, were there from many years, 25 years, 15 years, 10 years, 50 years. These are the conditions in the khanqah. Sometimes you go, you'll realize. So from amongst them, the noise spread. What's going on here? What's going on? It wasn't hasad. It wasn't envy. Remember, the walis of Allah never have hasad or envy or jealousy. Why is he being made the deputy? Why not us? Why has he got this maqam? Why not us? Why has he got speedily more advanced? But there's a tajassus, there's a bit of a concern that what was good about him and why we had lost, we should also inculcate that good point of his into us so that we can also get closer to Allah Ta'ala. And people in the world, when they speak to each other, his shop's running, my shop's running, etc. Those who've opened shops, then they get jealous from each other, etc. I can't speak about that. They do have pain. What's he doing? Well, he's got one more. And from other countries, you hear people saying things. SubhanAllah, this is Allah Ta'ala, he gives rizq, etc. Let him carry on. And if there's an issue, then Allah Ta'ala will cease. And if it's correct, it will continue. So why are you worried about that person or something else? That if somebody is doing wrong, then Allah will do Islah of that person. If not, then the thief one day gets caught. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 70 years, 50 years. Then why isn't the thief being caught? Okay, this is the point, isn't it? That he, how long does the lie continue for? How long does the lie continue? But those people are shopkeepers, businessmen, they have a habit, and it's difficult that from both ends, we have to get good milk and you get the contaminated milk as well. But the shop which has the contaminated milk gets raided, it's closed down, but the good milk, alhamdulillah, it continues. The customers increase, subhanAllah. So, mashallah, it was a good shop, and just like the wali of Allah, mashallah, he was there. There was no burning or rage or tajassus. The food, the Hazrat's giving me khilaf, it must be a unique situation. So let's ask Hazrat. We'll ask Hazrat, what is it that those people have advanced so quickly and I'm still the beginning of the queue? So it was asked that Hazrat, mashallah, so happy that 17 years after that he's got khilafat. Please tell us, what's the reason? After 17 days he got khilafat. What's the reason you gave him khilafat so quickly? Hazrat Sahib said that I can't give you the answer right now. I will give you the answer. And that was it. Hazrat Sahib was silent. The murid, what can they say? So the next day Hazrat called all of the students, the muridin, the students. And you know, in the Khanqah, it happens that one murid, a murid doesn't know that which mujahidah might be given next, what order, whatever comes, he accepts it and he starts the work of the deen. Why, where, how, etc. There's no discussion like this. That whatever happens, you go here, you do this, and they close eyes and do this. So all the people that today, even on his mazari's grave, there are birds there. MashaAllah, every wali of Allah has his special effect. He liked Hazrat Shahabuddin Surwadi, alhamdulillah, he liked the bird, that pigeon. So that pigeon went to his grave and he said that, go and bring a pigeon. Everyone took hold of the pigeon, brought it back. He said, take this pigeon and you need to sacrifice this pigeon, all of you today. And go and sacrifice this in such a place, and then come to me in the evening, give a report. Then when you sacrifice it, then you need to see that no one should be watching you at that time. Nobody should be watching you at that time. Remember this. He said, okay, fine. Everyone said, fine. The students, Hazrat Zakariya went as well, rahmatullah alayh. And all the other murids went and they came back in the evening, everybody after sacrificing the animal. Hazrat, we did it here, we did it there, we did it here. Hazrat Zakariya, he came with a bird that was alive at that time. Subhanallah, say subhanallah. He did not kill it. He hadn't slaughtered it. And they said, he's got khilafat. These are the people that he's got khilafat, that we do hukum, and he's not even fulfilled the orders. They got another chance to complain or say, who is this? He doesn't have the qualities that he fulfills the order of Hazrat. He's empty. So Hazrat saw that everyone came back. What have you done? Did you not sacrifice the animal? I said, and listen to his answer. He said, Hazrat, no, what could I do? It was your order, such an order, that when I go, they go and sacrifice this animal in such a place where Allah is not watching. Alhamdulillah, I couldn't find a place where Allah Ta'ala is not watching me, seeing me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And he turned his head and he said, this was the reason he has this feeling. I didn't give him khilafat. Rather, Allah Ta'ala via Habib gave this news very long time ago, quite a long time before this. That if Allah Ta'ala is watching that person, if he's feeling he's watching Allah, he becomes a high degree person. So my Zakariya will never do sin for the rest of his life, because he's attained this station that Allah Ta'ala is always watching him and he is watching Allah. He can see Allah. He's got this emotion. So has the secret been unraveled a bit, my friend? Shall I revise the subject matter? We need to develop an emotion. Every human being needs to develop this. And the feeling we've been given is that as long as we don't have this feeling, then there's no luggage for forgiveness. Yes, all amal, this feeling should overburden and overwhelm all the other deeds. Ikhlas will come from this. Question will succeed due to this. Allah's love will be attained through this. Riya will be eliminated from this. Pride will be eliminated from this. Bughaz, gossip mongering, rumor mongering will all disappear from our lives. We don't know, will our deeds be accepted? It doesn't matter how great or not a great a person is. If the sins cannot be removed, if we do not develop this feeling and emotion that Allah is watching. Subhanallah. Number one. Now, how can we practice with this? How can we do this? There's no place of worship, no select place that we have to go and do tawbah. That if today you want to attain this, me and you, then for this Allah Ta'ala has made a place. The amal is given is what? Sohbat the Shaykh, the company of the Shaykh. Subhanallah. And this is the method to wash, to cleanse, to purify the nafs and heart. Otherwise, what are they bother did they do? Nothing. With ikhlas, they took the hand of the wali of Allah. And their niyyah was one, I need akhirah, I need Allah's pleasure. I need the success in the raft. I want to be saved from hellfire. I want to be saved from jahannam. Sins are attached to me. Everything of mine is in riyah. My ibadah I can see is riyah. And showing off and envy. When I read Quran, I see envy and jealousy. There's nothing that can save me, my Mawla. They made me such that when I do work, then I'm as if I'm seeing you, or at least that I can feel that you are watching me. And then in every salah you'll have a sanad. On every action of yours you'll have a sanad. Accepted, accepted, beyond accepted. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So my brothers, very simple, straightforward path, isn't it? And Hazrat said this in front of you as well, that Allah Ta'ala has created and sent the walis of Allah to the earth for this reason. They were made for this one reason. They were put into the world for this one reason. And they spread the deen for this reason. They go on a journey for this reason. And their khankas are open. For who opens the khankas? Allah opens the khankas. Yes. So I'm today in this gathering. I'm very happy that every day I'm traveling somewhere. Well, the reason for this is what? That when a person comes home, he's very happy. Subhanallah. So this is that place, my friends, that Allah's ni'mah, I'm saying this with the name of Allah, where I'm sitting here today, and there are some friends I can see, and others I can see. These are those people whose father, grandfathers, they gave me assistance. And when my Hazrat sent me towards this direction, subhanAllah, towards Maghribi, then all the dunya of Maghrib, America, Western Hemisphere, everywhere, all the countries of the Western Hemisphere, the first khanka was established with the order of my Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh. Subhanallah, rahmatullah, 50 years before today, there was no name of a khanka, no sign, nobody knew about dhikr. My Hazrat sat on a straw mat and gave me the order. And I also wasn't worthy. I was young, I was about 30 years old, and Hazrat Sahib selected me. Hazrat Sahib didn't see how educated he is, how much ilm, knowledge, nothing. He said, please stand and depart and go towards Europe and teach people the dhikr of Allah and revive the sunnah. Subhanallah, I said, me? I don't know anybody. I don't know how will I go. And subhanAllah, he replied that you don't know, but Allah Ta'ala knows. Stand up. That's it. Stand up. So now tell me, if somebody is left today, for example, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was left in the wilderness, and he left Hazrat Hajra in the wilderness. And it makes sense. And the child was in her hands, and he left them in the jungle. He didn't even turn back. She said, please listen. Why are you leaving me? Why are you leaving me? There's a jungle here, and night will come. The lions will devour me. Our child, there's no food, no water. There's nothing. We have nothing. Where are you going, my husband? You're not listening to me. And there was no answer from the husband, from Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then she ran after him, at least tell me something. What's the issue? What's the point? Give me an answer. No answer came. No answer was forthcoming. Then she said herself, is it not the case that Allah Ta'ala has told you to do this? Then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam turned back and said, yes, Allah Ta'ala has told me. Then she said, listen to answer. She said, you go, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allahu Akbar. Go, go, go. Take your path. I'm not worried about the night or isolation, being on my own. Allahu Akbar. That if you have left on Allah's order, Allah will give me everything and deliver everything to me. Subhanallah. So, the khadim has come for this reason. And just like a person who is not worthy, capable, I'm more, less worthy than you, less capable than you, and I have no akal. So my friends, a khanka was open today. It's the fourth generation that's in front of me, come from the khanka. The fifth generation, subhanAllah, is ready to sit in the lap of the mother and listen to dhikr at that place. Not one, not two. The fourth generation is present at this moment in time. Subhanallah. Look what a great point. Great point. So Allah Ta'ala says that this is the work of the deen, that the person, you don't know him, recognize him. Four generations, they sat in front of you. Their father, his father, his father. Subhanallah. And this is their children and their children. They'll be sitting on the lap at this moment in time. And soon as the child is born, this is a color that spreads. Sibghat Allah. This verse, subhanAllah, that the Yahud they used to allow, their practice influenced the children. So the greatest color, the greatest effect is Allah Ta'ala's deen. So these children, it influences them when they're born. I'm amazed that as soon as they're born, the imamah is wrapped around the head of the child. What great mothers they are, subhanAllah, tell me, subhanAllah. Does this not happen in your home? They're sat here, seated here. Okay, fine, we're weak with amal. We don't do amal on that amal. We don't work hard on the amal. But brothers, you will work hard. Your fathers, forefathers initiated this deen. And subhanAllah, they'll be in Jannah right now. Just like their forefathers, great-grandfathers, great-grandfathers. I know with tariqah they got a house. How they decorated the house. How they did, worked hard and through difficulties. Until now, there are same difficulties. By that time, tell me how many difficulties there were. Lugbar. The nobody liked dhikr. People, when we had a khanka, they laughed. What's this, you mad people? What's this action you started doing here? Fatwas and people swearing. From every people, from every background, Muslimin from different sects, etc. By Mahazir's hukum was hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. That I stood firm to my tongue with my words. I did not move. Because the tapka of the shaykh, the tap on the shoulder, the back is there, so this work of the deen will continue. So these few words I've said for this reason, because I've got happiness and I'm crying as well, at the same time that people I'm remembering, my old friends, that in the grave, subhanAllah, they'll be in the grave and doing the dhikr of Allah, but those things that we are lacking, we need to fulfill them, my friends, okay? So it's not the case, Allah Ta'ala has given such a great reward from this city, Allah Ta'ala has started, and from you people as well, from your parents, Allah Ta'ala has started. So have istiqamah, don't waste time. Don't do waste of time actions such as majalis gatherings where there's bid'at or innovation or shirk or wrong actions. That does it make sense that you're gathered there and then we go there, make noises and do wrong actions, distasteful actions? The better that there is such a great majlis Allah has given you for the dhikr of Allah. Go there, everything else is a deception, a religion is there for a few days and we leave everything of ours and we come. And especially the men folk and the women folk, that your parents have done a lot of effort in this town for dhikr of Allah. And you shouldn't waste the deen that's come to your life. Bring your children to the right path, to the right deen. And those things that are bid'at or innovation, save yourself from them. Save yourself from them. That this is just a game for a few days. It will be drawn out. You promise this? Never say that. Follow that ta'leem, that education that your shaykh has given to you, that has been delivered to you with the struggle and the strive. This silsila has come and it's a great silsila, silsila Naqshbandiya. So stick a day to it and tell your children and the offspring to also come towards it. Because as I've said today, that until that feeling emotion doesn't come to us, then we cannot fulfill our need. We need to revive this emotion, this feeling, every ibadah, every moment that we should feel that we can see, we are seeing Allah, or at least Allah is watching us. It's not difficult with ikhlas. Do amal on the words of your shaykh. And create a link with the shaykh. Whoever wants to do this, who wants to attain this, close your eyes and go to the company of a good shaykh and say, I've just come for this one reason, that I want to develop that emotion that I can see Allah. SubhanAllah. Every moment of the day of my life, this will happen inshallah. How can it not happen? It will happen definitely. It's Allah's promise. Yes. That we should go with this reason, this emotion, with the fadl of Allah. So let's do dua to Allah. I pray to Allah that Allah Ta'ala allows us to do amal on these words. And he gives us a tawfiq to do this. And after this we'll do dhikr inshallah. The tarteeb of dhikr is the same as we do all the time. Dhikr khatam al khwajgan. Dhikr khatam khwajgan will start. Be jahir dhikr, some khafi dhikr, silent dhikr. And there will be some recitation. And then durood sharif and dua. So let's sit together, stick together with love, do dhikr. And then when it's silent, do silent dhikr. When it's loud, do loud dhikr. All dhikr are jais, there's no bid'ah, no innovation. Everyone has this kafir, this feeling. If you do jair dhikr, loud dhikr, you'll have, it's got its own enjoyment. If you do khafi dhikr, you'll have enjoyment. And Allah Ta'ala has given us the opportunity to do this. So it's proven from all the walis of Allah, somebody like this way of doing dhikr, somebody prefer this way of doing dhikr, somebody prefer this. My habit is this, that alhamdulillah, in one majlis, I conduct all the dhikr from all the silsilas. Everyone has this different habits. But despite Naqshbandi silsila is heavier on me, I have all the ijaza in the four silsila, chistiya silsila, they do jair, dhikr, etc. and the hadith, all of these are there, they're permissible, but my habit is that I prefer more the khafi dhikr, I prefer maraqabat. This is my nature, and my silsila overwhelms me, it demands it from me, but when I walk around in the world, in society, there are people with all sorts of backgrounds, then there, I start to remember people, Allahu Akbar. I start to remember people that this person will come, he's got a high level enjoyment, etc. Do this, what difference does it make? They say, thou, for example, do this, he doesn't like this color, he likes this. And I sit and host dhikr from all of the schools so that nobody leaves empty handed but leaves with passion and desire. So people give fatwa, today he did this, and another place this happened, and that person came, etc. And they keep telling me that this happened and that happened. I said, okay, there's a committee, running commentary, whatever's happened, but Allahu Akbar, at least I remember Allah, at least I'm from those people who remember Allah, Allah wala. And we're not reading the Gita or something else. What do we say? Allah. Some we say from the heart, from the tongue. We say it loudly sometimes. Sometimes we cry and say it. Sometimes we smile and say, but Allah, it's your name that we're reciting. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So, inshallah, with all the emotions and conditions, we'll do dhikr of Allah. And you also that without any riya, without showing off, without pride, if you have the emotion that you want to speak loudly, speak it. But don't make it up and speak it. When you have to cry, cry genuine tears. That if your heart says the silence, then be silence. Whatever the condition emotion, then remember Allah with that same condition emotion. Don't look at me, I'll speak loudly, or I'll smile, or I'll laugh. Don't look at my harakat. That I am within my own scenario and you should be in your own scenario. None of riya, the life of riya should not be present. That people will be happy. If I scream, they'll be happy. If I cry, they'll say, what help do you need, etc. There's no game here. Everybody should be remembering Allah. So, okay, should we start?
يا جافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا يا جافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا يا جافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا اللهم اغفنا في بدني اللهم اغفنا في صمي اللهم اغفنا في بصري اللهم اغفنا في قلبي لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ تم پہ کرم فرما ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے یا اللہ پوری امت کے گناہوں کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمیں سیدھا راستہ نصیب فرما دے ہدایت کا راستہ نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری مشکلات دور فرما دے ہاں میرے مولا ہماری مشکلات دور فرما دے ہاں میرے مولا ہماری مشکلات دور فرما دے ہماری پریشانی کو دور فرما دے ہاں میرے مولا ہماری پریشانی کو دور فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری سب سے بڑی پریشانی ہماری آخرت ہے میرے مولا یا اللہ تمہاری آخرت بہتر فرما دے یا اللہ اندھیروں میں گھر چکے ہیں میرے مولا شیطان نفس کے ہاتھوں ہیں میرے مولا ہم اپنی حالتوں کو اچھی طرح جانتے ہیں میرے مولا، یا کریم تو ہمیں اس دھوکے سے نکال دے، یا اللہ ہمیں سنت و شریعت کا راستہ نصیب فرما دے، اے میرے مولا شریعت و سنت کا راستہ نصیب فرما دے، اے میرے مولا قبر بہت تنگ ہے، بہت اندھیری ہے، اے میرے مولا ہمارے اعمال سے اس کو روشن فرما دے، یا اللہ ہمارے اعمالوں سے اس کو روشن فرما دے، اے میرے مولا تو اپنا فضل فرما، یا اللہ تو قلم فرمائے گا تو ہم ہدایت ملے گی میرے مولا، یا اللہ شر نفس و شر شیطان سے بچا دے، اے میرے مولا سارے ہدایت کے وسائل ہمیں عطا فرما دے، یا اللہ ہماری رسائی کسی نیک انسان تک کر دے، میرے مولا ہمارا کوئی وسیلہ پکا بنا دے، یا اللہ کسی اچھا مضبوط ہاتھ ہمارے ہاتھ میں دے دے، اے میرے مولا ہماری زندگی کو بدل دے، یا اللہ ہمارے دلوں کی زندگی کو بدل دے، اے میرے مولا ہمارے حضور قلبی نصیب فرما دے، اے میرے مولا حضور قلبی نصیب فرما دے، یا اللہ جو آج ہم نے حدیث پڑھی میرے مولا وہ کیفیت ہمیں اتار دے، یا اللہ وہ کیفیت ہمیں اتار دے، اے میرے مولا ہمیں گناہوں سے بچا لے، یا اللہ گناہوں کی سختیوں سے بچا لے، گناہوں کے عذابوں سے بچا لے، اے میرے مولا تو رحم فرما، تو کرم فرما، تو فضل فرما، تو عنایت فرما، تو بار برکتیں نازل فرما، اے میرے مولا تو اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما دے، یا اللہ اس مجمع کو بخش دے، میرے مولا جن لوگوں نے اس مجمع بنانے کا چلانے کا میرے مولا کا اہتمام کیا میرے مولا ان کے گناہوں کو بخشے، ان کے درجات کو بلند فرما دے، ان کے رزق میں برکت نصیب فرما، یا اللہ جیسے تیرے ذکر سے تیرے نام سے محبت کرتے ہیں میرے مولا تو بھی ان سے محبت فرما، اے میرے مولا اس مسجد کو آباد فرما، یا اللہ اس مسجد میں جو لوگ حصہ لے رہے ہیں کام کرنے میں اور خدمت کر رہے ہیں میرے مولا ان کی خدمت کو قبول فرما، یا اللہ ان کی خدمت کو قبول فرما، ان کے بچوں میں برکت نصیب فرما، رزق میں برکت نصیب فرما، جو بھی علماء کرام اس میں محنت کر رہے ہیں یا اللہ اصلاح کر رہے ہیں امت کی میرے مولا ان کے کاموں میں برکت نصیب فرما، اور میرے مولا ان کو مزید ترقی نصیب فرما، اے میرے مولا آج بہت مجمع تھا، بہت بڑا مجمع تھا جس میں میرے مولا تو نے کرم فرمایا، اچھے اور بڑے علماء کرام کو تو نے بھیجا، اے میرے مولا ہمارے بہت بڑا شرف تھا اور یہ تیری عنایت تھی اور تیرا فضل تھا کہ ہمارے لیے تو نے بخشش کا اہتمام کیا، ان کی زیارتیں ہمیں نصیب فرمائی، اے میرے مولا ان کی باتوں پہ عمل کرنے کی بھی توفیق نصیب فرما، یا کریم اس مجلس کو قبول فرما لے، اے میرے مولا اس مجلس کو قبول فرما لے، ہمارے بیٹھنے کو قبول فرما لے، ہماری آہوں کو سن لے، ہماری دعاؤں کو سن لے، ہماری پکاروں کو سن لو، اے میرے مولا جو ہدایت چاہتے ہیں ان کو ہدایت دے، یا اللہ جو ہدایت سے دور ہیں ہدایت کے نزدیک فرما، یا اللہ تو اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما، وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ و صحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین، سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون، سلام علی المرسلین، والحمد للہ رب العالمین۔